We often think highly of our abilities, of our resources, of us. But the sad truth is this. We, apart from Christ, can do nothing. All of our best is only worthless. But the good news is that God knew, and He sent His Spirit to be our constant companion, our supply, our helper, our comforter. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today, Pastor Jim begins a message on the power of and our need for the Spirit of God. Let's join him as he dives in.
Galatians 3, beginning in the first verse. If you found that, if you'd please stand with me. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness? Oh, Father, speak through me this morning. Speak through me, Lord, your servant, that you saved according to your will by your grace, not because of anything in me, but because of who you are. I ask, Lord, that those who are here, that are here not because of anything, but you have drawn them to be in this house this day, may they hear your word. May I not get in the way, and may you be honored and glorified. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. One of my favorite stories to tell is about the Texas rancher that was visiting with the farmer from Kansas. And the Texas rancher told the farmer how he could get up in the morning and he could get in his truck and he could drive from the crack of dawn till the setting of the sun. He could drive all day long and never leave his property. And the Kansas farmer thought about it for a minute and he said, yeah, I used to have an old truck like that too. When we start to think too highly of ourselves, we make fools of ourselves. When we begin to think that we are so much and that we are all of that, what ends up happening is we end up falling flat on our face. I know you've done it because I know I've done it. And when that happens, we feel ashamed because we had exalted ourselves before man and then man watched us fall. Last week we talked about the foolish Galatians who were bewitched, who were taken in by the Judaizers. But as we continue in this text, he says, let me ask only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit? That is really the question. Did you receive the Spirit? If you are here today and you have not received the Spirit, you are still counted among the lost. You do not belong to Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you won't belong to Him. But that means you don't yet. Because when He saves us, He gives us the Spirit, doesn't He? And when we have the Spirit, we are a new creation. The teaching of the New Testament, the ending of Matthew 28, we know that as the Great Commission at the end of 28. Jesus says, go into all the world and to preach the gospel, teaching them all things, baptizing them. And he gives a very specific way that we baptize. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity, right? I've had people tell me, show me where it says Trinity in the Bible. Well, I can show you where the idea, the doctrine of the Trinity is. I just quoted to you Matthew 28, but the word Trinity isn't in there. But the principle of the Trinity is. And since it is, we must understand that the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. We also must understand that the Father is not above the Holy Spirit. The Son is not above the Holy Spirit. The Son is not above the Father. They are equal. And it is three in one. It is one God, three persons in the Trinity, one God. The Holy Spirit. When I was growing up in the Catholic Church, we called it the Holy Ghost. When we would use that in a prayer or after a prayer, we would do the cross. It was in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Either way, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity that the church doesn't know what to do with too often. We see from the teachings of Paul and Peter, we see from the teachings of John, from the words of Jesus, the importance of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Jesus told the people, he said it was expedient, it was important for him to leave, because when he left, he was going to send another, who is the Comforter, who is the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit. So it was important for him to go so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. When Peter witnessed to the Gentiles and God saved them, and Peter was explaining to the Jews what had taken place, he knew that they had been saved because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they had received the Spirit just like he had. But what took place along the way was a couple of things. As MacArthur said, from about 500 to the year 1500, when the Roman Church brought us into the Dark Ages, the biggest reason it was dark was because it was dark of God's Word. It was void of God's Word to the people. And the teaching of the Holy Spirit was reduced. As we came out of the Dark Ages, there was a teaching again with the Reformation of the Holy Spirit. And then came the Charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement. As that movement came into Christendom, there was a misunderstanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so the Holy Spirit was elevated above the Father and the Son. In fact, often you would hear those of that movement teach something to the effect that it was only the Holy Spirit, that it was all the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, that those gifts of the Spirit showed whether or not you were saved. In fact, there are groups that will tell you that if you do not speak in tongues, you are not saved. This is a misrepresentation, at best, of the Holy Spirit. But when that took place, the conservative denominations withdrew from the Holy Spirit, at least the teaching of the Holy Spirit, I should say. They withdrew because they did not want to be seen as charismatic. They did not want to be seen as Pentecostal. They did not want to be associated with the abuse of the Holy Spirit's name. And so a lot of churches, especially Baptist churches, withdrew from teaching very much about the Holy Spirit. Exegeters would come to the Holy Spirit and often just skip over it in their teaching of the Bible, or give just minimal reference to the Holy Spirit. We've already said that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Holy Spirit is the Helper. Some people get confused that the Holy Spirit and your conscience are the same thing. That is not true. The Holy Spirit might work through your conscience sometimes, but he is not your conscience, because there are different things that bother the conscience of different people. Someone who belongs to Christ, their conscience should be bothered by things that those who do not belong to Christ are not. So the Holy Spirit is not your conscience. The Holy Spirit has one primary job, one primary purpose. Do we know what that purpose is? Same thing as yours and mine. Point to Christ. Point to Christ. Point to the Father. That's his purpose. The Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you will speak to your heart, to your mind, for you to point to Christ. That means the way you live. That means the way you talk. That means the decisions you make. That means where and who you hang out with. That means where you go to church. That means how you study the Bible. The Holy Spirit will lead you in all those things to point to Christ. You know that there are churches who take this Bible and have turned it into a self-help book for you, who have basically said this is all about you and how you should live. Brothers and sisters, this book is not about you. This is not about you. This book is about God. Another reason that we don't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit is because we are so immersed in self. We are so immersed in self that we have a hard time seeing past who we are, just like that Texan with the truck. We become so proud of who we are, what we do, even those things we do for God. We start to rely on and trust our own thinking. Case in point, if somebody goes through something traumatic, even people in the church, what is it that they recommend that person to get? Counseling, right? Been there, done that. I've suggested it. We suggest someone go to counseling. Who do they go to counsel? We'll say, oh, a Christian counselor. When we send someone to a Christian counselor, to a counselor, what we're really sending them to is a hedonist. Christian or not Christian, we're sending them to a hedonist. Someone who is going to give them the point of view of the world. Now, I can say that because that's what I went to college for, was exactly that. I was doing counseling, and I wanted to learn that side of things. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Job 12 and verse 13, with God are wisdom and might. Now, look at this. To Him belong counsel and understanding. Why, as Christians, would we send somebody who's going to tell them all about themselves and the world, and they're going to teach them to have self-confidence, to believe in themselves, to fill themselves up with themselves, and never point them to God? He is the counselor. Let me go on to verse 17 of that same passage there in Job. This is verse 17 of chapter 12. He makes counselors walk barefoot. What does that mean? It means He strips them because they have nothing. He makes fools out of judges. He loosens the bond of kings and binds the loins with a girdle. This message is not about counseling. This message is about us listening and following the Holy Spirit. I've always heard this statement, don't squelch the Spirit. Has anyone else ever heard that? Don't squelch the Spirit. What that means is listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides you and quit ignoring what the Spirit says. What happens if you say the same thing to somebody day in and day out and they never acknowledge you? Are you going to continue to do that forever? At some point, what are you going to do? You're going to stop, right? Don't squelch the Spirit. The real problem here is that as we came out of the dark ages, we began to turn our attention to us, to self. And as we turned our attention to self, we got to the place that we felt that we could solve all our problems. I heard, again using MacArthur, I heard him use the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, he said. And then he said, in today's world, we got all the bread we can handle, don't we? We are self-sufficient. We don't turn to God when we need something. In fact, we don't turn to God when we don't need something. We just don't turn to Him like we should. We don't turn to Him. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to recruit whoever we need to help us do it ourselves, and we're going to make it happen. Or we're going to complain because God isn't doing it the way we want Him to. Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there was no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people in Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He will take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. They're complaining about what God has given them. When you aren't willing to go to God for what He wants, you're complaining. It isn't even something that you have to verbalize. And their complaints is so much like what ours is. They're impatient, it says. It says, we loathe this worthless food. What was the worthless food that they're talking about? Manna. Where'd manna come from? Kroger's? It came from God Himself, didn't it? From the very hand of God. God prepared bread for them. He put it out with the dew. They could go out and they could collect enough bread for them to eat for that day. Each and every day. But the gift of God became common to them. And their bellies became God. And what did they call that food? Worthless food. They called what God gave them worthless. In fact, they said they hated what God gave them. Folks, when we are ignoring the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we are murmuring and complaining, we are doing it ourselves, we are finding our own way, when we are forcing it through, we are absolutely no different than this. That's what's happening to the Galatians. Somebody has come in and made sense to them that didn't match God's word. And since it made sense to them, they began to think, well, they have to be circumcised. When the people in the wilderness began to complain and murmur and want to go another direction than what God had given them, when they complained like this, God sent these serpents to bite them, and they began to die. God could just as easily have said to Moses, hold up your staff and I will scatter the serpents. He could have, without saying anything to Moses, Moses could have prayed, asked him for it, and then they just disappeared. God could do that, right? He brought them. He could send them. But God didn't take it away from them. Because if He would have taken it away from them, what would have happened? It's going to happen anyway, as we know the story through Numbers, but it would have happened faster. They would have so quickly turned back to themselves, wouldn't they? So instead, they had to continue through the wilderness, watching out for the serpents. And if they were bitten by one, they had to turn to God's provision. God's provision was, look at the bronze serpent and be healed. They had to turn to God's provision. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. Do you think there was anybody amongst all of the Israelites that were coming through the wilderness who didn't have this on their mind? Folks, sometimes God does not take us out of our issues because He wants us to listen to Him. And when I say listen to Him, don't tell me God told me to do this. I saw something from Vody Bachum this week. It says, the Lord told me is no substitute for the Bible says. Because what the Bible says is God's word. What you think the Lord told you may or may not be. But what the Bible says is, we have to turn our attention, we have to turn our focus to God. We're 30-something people in this room today. Each family here has a different set of issues. Even if you're related to another family in here, you have a different set of issues. Each family here, each person here, your issues are legitimate, right? You surely would not be drawn down by something that wasn't legitimate or give your attention to something that wasn't legitimate. But yet, the question is, how are you trying to handle those? Are you trying to make it happen or are you trusting God? You know, I would wish with all that is within me that Palmer did not have that accident. I would wish that with everything I have that he did not have that accident and that the family would not be going through this, and that Palmer would not be in this place. I think about the statement that he's not going to make it. This statement has just rung in my head for the last 17 days. It has rung in my head time after time again. Because what this statement did is it took everything out of the hands of the doctors and placed everything in the hands of God. And folks, no matter what your condition, or the condition of the people you love, the very best place they can be is in the hands of God. They listened to the Spirit. They were in the hands of God. And what was impossible with man, we're seeing happen, aren't we? Before our very eyes, we're seeing God step by step restore this young man. The thing is God could have just as quickly healed him immediately and wholly. And if he had, there would have been some praise to God, wouldn't there? And there would have been some sharing of that story. But it would not have turned the people to prayer that are being turned to prayer. I think there isn't a day that goes by now that the rest aren't hearing from somebody about how they had quit believing and what they're seeing in the prayer for Palmer has changed it. And they now believe. Like I said, I could wish with everything in me that didn't happen. And I do. But God had a purpose, didn't he? Folks, when we can trust the Holy Spirit, when we can trust God and we can turn to his word and we can go to our knees, we will find a closeness to God, an intimacy with God that maybe you didn't even know existed. But that's really hard for us in the 21st century, isn't it? Because we have doctors, we have all this equipment. There are still doctors who believe that it's what they're doing that's bringing Palmer along. We have doctors, all this equipment, we have money, we have banks, we have friends, we have, the list goes on and on of all the things that we have so we can do it ourselves so we don't have to spend as much time in prayer. Prayer comes from the heart of the Holy Spirit. It does not come from your heart. Let me hop ahead in my notes here a little bit, and I'll tell you what comes from your heart, as if you didn't already know. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Some of your versions will say wicked. That's the heart of man. Out of that heart, is that really how you want God to be seen? Out of a heart that is wicked, that is sick? You see, we don't think we need prayer anymore. We don't count on the Holy Spirit. We don't count on God. Because we can do so many things ourselves. We have technology that even when I was graduating high school, I would have never dreamt about. I mean, I saw some of it on the Jetsons, but I didn't think it would ever happen. Right? Even 10 years ago when we were doing some Skyping, I thought that was just amazing. And now we just pick up any phone and have face-to-face with somebody. That's crazy. That's the world we live in. So advanced. But it didn't take away the need for God. It just fooled the people into trusting something other than God. Don't have to look very far to see it. From church to church across this country, the church service that is lowest attended, I don't care how big or small the church is, the lowest attended church service is the prayer service. Period. Because people don't see a need to pray. Part of the reason they don't see a need to pray is because they do not listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides them. Part of the reason they don't see a need to pray is because they can take care of it themselves. Part of it is because we have to humble ourselves. Myself and any of you, think about this for a moment. It's not hard for you to ask for prayer for somebody, is it? Is it hard for you to ask prayer for yourself? Why? Why is it okay to ask for prayer for somebody else, but not for yourself? Is it because you really don't believe? I'm guilty here, so I'm talking to me. I'm not just talking to you. Is it because you don't believe that prayer will really help you? Or you don't believe you need it? Or is it because you are so prideful that you squelch the Spirit? You hold the Spirit down instead of sharing your weakness with your brothers and sisters. Friends, we got to turn to God. As Moses held the serpent up, they had to turn to God. They had to turn to his provision. In Galatians 3, verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The promised Spirit. Why wouldn't we cling to the Spirit? We have the most educated society that we have ever had in the history of this country. There are more degrees of every level today than there ever has been in all of history. And what do we do with them? We trust them to get us through instead of God.
What a tragic comment on the church today. We, like Israel of old, despise the bread of heaven in favor of the stuff that we ourselves can create and do. But the fact is this, God will not allow us to remain in that condition. He'll do what is needful to draw us back to a relationship that is rooted in and powered by prayer. It is the best and often only recourse we have when we're faced with the trials of this life. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to life from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. And until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with the final word for today. Last Saturday, I went to a worship service held outside on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. There were probably about 40 or so people that came to the service. Why is it that there are so few people who are willing to stand for what is right? This idea of abortion is a horrible, horrible thing. And yet, the church stands silent. Silent. That is unspeakable to me. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 says, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge rightly, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Friends, there are those in the womb who are mute, and they need us to speak for them. They need us to stand in the gap for them. But I tell you, it isn't just abortion. As we look around our land, we see that there are so many ways that wickedness has become the mainstream. Isaiah 5, beginning in the 18th verse, "Woe to those who draw iniquity with the cords of falsehood, who draw sin as their cart ropes, who say, 'Let him be quick, let him speed his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come, that we may know it.' Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitterness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." Friends, do we not see this is where we have come? And we who are truly the church. I'm not talking about those who say they're Christian and live like the world. I'm talking about the Christian. We must do, as it says in Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice. Now listen, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's case. We need to stand for what is right as Christian men and women. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.